the fishermen are back in town. Screw Man here, Mark, Lucky, Sam. Just came back from Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Welcome to the 4 Outdoors, everybody. Hey, did we have fun this last couple of days or not?
We had a fantastic time.
I think we did. You know, it's we get along pretty well. I mean, I don't mouth off to you guys like I do most people because you guys could take care of me.
Oh, it was a great time. I love hanging out with you boys.
The pictures were great.
You like those?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We did. Devil's Lake is our premier sponsor on the show, has been for a number of years, and thanks to them for our support. Had a good time, met Susie for dinner, but we had a chance to do some really good fishing. We fished hard for 2 days, and it's a lot of fun if you consider fishing work, but I guess it is sometimes. But
I wouldn't call it work either, riding around in a 7-degree snow bear for a day either.
That thing was amazing.
That was amazing. That's the way to do it.
To some of our listeners who have never seen or heard of a snow bear, Sam, why don't you describe the snow bear? Cost about $60,000-$65,000 for this thing. Tell them what it's all about.
I would describe it as a mini RV with tracks and sleds. So it's probably, what, 8-9 feet long in there?
Yeah.
9 feet
about
maybe?
That. Yep.
And benching on both sides. There was a total of six holes, so we each had our own hole, and then we had the Garmin Live Scope, which was, that thing was amazing. It literally was, my mic just went crazy. Sorry. It literally was like a TV with little sonar fish. You could watch your bait. You could, instead of seeing a little flash on a flasher, an actual like outlined fish you could see coming. It was amazing. So.
I've been watching videos on that for a long time, and of course everyone's talking about it, and they're very expensive. But it's funny, when we started fishing with the new Vexlars, the FLX28 and stuff, you're like, this is a game changer. It's so different. And then when you see the live scope, you're like, wow. You can see the fish physically swim up, and it's crazy, man. It's a game.
It looks just like, you know, it's infrared, and you can see, and it's crazy. You could see the outline of the fish. You could see, you could kind of tell, you know, if it was a perch or a walleye.
By the size
yeah,
as well.
And the size.
Yeah.
I mean, and like we were talking, there were so many times where you'd get that little bump and you'd see it on the screen. And, you know, if you didn't have that screen, you would have given up.
Yeah,
but you can see that fish just
right.
Kind of slowly
right
back up and like circle back. And then so it's like, oh, it's coming back up.
And
it's
you can see what cadence works, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like even in a Vexlar, they'll come up and come down and you don't know where they're biting. But when you can see your jig going up or down 2 inches and whether they're interested or not, whether they turn around or not, it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, sometimes they would jab
now I gotta buy one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Well, sometimes they jab at it, or you'd give them a little too much, and all of a sudden they just bolt off, and,
right.
Well, that's not working. But
it's pretty frustrating, but, it's, you know, it's neat. Can you picture today just going out in a boat with a cane pole and just hoping there's a fish down there, not even having any idea how deep it is or anything?
I know.
I just
crazy.
Don't think we just couldn't do it today. The technology has changed the game. And those things, like you were talking about, Garrett, our guide from Bry's Guide Service in Devil's Lake, that's BRY, thanks to you guys as well. He and his old man are both guides at Bry's, and they both have their snow bears. I don't know if the old man's got the same kind of electronics as Garrett.
He does.
It sounded like he did.
Yeah, but I'm guessing the screens you were talking about are like $2,500 a piece, and this kid's got two of them. No wonder
I think
they
it was $3,000.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, and these guys have they've got to keep doing the best they can, keep taking the next step to keep getting people to come there as well. But it's a cool deal. But as important as that, more important than that, is the man who's driving the thing. And that Garrett, what's Garrett's last name?
Bonham.
Yeah, Bonham.
Bonham.
What's cool though about those snow bears too is, so you know, it's 70 degrees, and with whatever, you know, the suspension raises and lowers you from the ice, and so, you know, especially for perch, we moved around a decent amount, you know, like, and you'd be like, all right, let's go, and we just pick up. It'd take us 2 minutes. We had, you know, we were a well-oiled machine. We all played our part.
We did.
Picked up the sleeves, covered the holes. We were up, and we moved, you know, a couple hundred yards, and all of a sudden, 3 more minutes, we're fishing again. There's nothing like that, you know. You don't have to get out of it, and it was super comfortable.
The only other time that Mark and I fished in a snow bear was with Zippy, I believe, maybe from Perch Patrol. I'm not even sure what, but at that time, I remember we had to leave the snow bear when they dug the holes, but that's because they used a gas auger, right, Mark?
Right, yeah, that was, and that dates us a little bit. That was before really all the pistol bits and things like that and K-drills came out. So Yeah, we had to get out because there was fumes and then get back in after it aired out. So it is a lot more convenient with the electric augers now.
Speaking of Garrett, we're going to have him in at 6:40, I think, and we'll talk about his career and everything about Devil's Lake. But, you know, get back to the whatever you call that screen. What's that screen called?
The Garmin LiveScope.
Okay, the Garmin LiveScope. It was cool because we had – you can keep 5 fish per day, 10 per limit, I mean per possession on Devil's Lake. And so we had 14 walleyes, and we had like an hour to go. We thought we got to keep going till we wanted to get back because we were going out for dinner with Susie and the gang and all of that. And I caught one. We needed two. I caught one, and Mark had one following his thing. You could see on the screen that this fish was just being so – deceptive and so resistive, I think is what I'm going to call it. And Mark was teasing him in front of him and go back and forth. That fish would go away, come back, and finally they were neck and neck, and boom, you hooked it. And it was good fish too.
Yeah, that was good amazing. Fish. Yeah, it was so cool to watch.
I know all 5 of us were staring at the screen watching him come back and forth. And whoa, he's going to get it! Oh, he bumped it.
Yeah. We put our rods down and we were like, get him, Mark. It was like watching a pay per view event. Yeah. Like, and it just kept going away and coming back. It was awesome.
A great experience. So thanks to Bryce and Garrett for taking care of us on Friday.
And the Fireside Inn. Thank you, the Fireside Inn.
Yeah.
Stayed there. And steak, you had one of the best steaks of your life.
You know what, guys?
At the ranch.
When we went to the ranch,
not the pizza ranch, but we did go to the pizza ranch.
We did go to the pizza ranch.
This is the ranch, the steakhouse.
So first of all, we said, thanks to Susie for all you do for us. And we went to the ranch, which is kind of like the go-to spot for a classier dinner in Devil's Lake, right? I'm not going to lie. The last time I went there, I ordered, a steak, and it was just okay. I was happy with it. I wasn't disappointed. But, man, when we went there, I was like, I'm going to get a filet, And we ordered, some appetizers that were great as well. And I have to honestly say, and I'm a super picky eater. My wife will back me up on this. I don't say this often. I'm not a compliment giver when it's to food. That was top 5 steaks of my life.
Woo! I'm going to have to send this to Susie so Susie can send it to Joel at the ranch. And maybe they'll give us a free meal next time. We'll give it a shot. You keep talking, pal. You're doing the right thing.
It was honestly very good. The whole atmosphere was great. So we got to say thanks to Joel for having us out there. It was a great place. If you're going to go to Devil's Lake, which everyone should, make sure you stop by the ranch. It was and I'm not just saying that. Like, there's nothing in that for the ranch for me saying that. We could tear them apart if we want, or tear them apart if we want, but that steak was top 5.
Hey, one of the last things before we get to Nicole Jacobs on the air, but the Fireside, it was cute. We get up Friday morning to have breakfast, and because of COVID, they have to do the meals behind the counter. You can't go out in the buffet thing. So I said, can I just have a couple of eggs? All we have are fried egg sandwiches. Well, I can't have bread. Can I have the egg differently? No, because they're already made sandwiches. I said, well, I can't have bread. So the kid says, well, how about some toast?
True story.
Have a good day, sir. Have a good day. Nicole Jacobs is on the air, right?
Hello. Hi, guys. How are you?
Long time no hear, Nicole. We're doing well. Every day is a gift. I say it, and I mean it. But good to have you on, young lady.
I'm so happy to hear you guys had a great trip at Devil's Lake. Sounds like a dream trip.
We caught plenty of fish as well and some good size. We didn't break any records, but that's not the point of it. We did well. Great people, and nobody got hurt, and we got along and had a wonderful time. We came home at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We're here doing things on the 4 Outdoorsman tonight. Nicole, now you are here for one particular reason. What do you want to talk about?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having us. I'm actually here as an ambassador for Fishing for Life. I was asked on behalf of Fishing for Life. It's a nonprofit. Everyone pretty knows about them in Minnesota.
Yep.
They get kids fishing, get veterans fishing. I'm here to talk about this wonderful event called Holes for Heroes, which is next Saturday, February 6th. What's really special about this event, it is designated for our veterans through Minnesota and through the Midwest. What's really cool about this year is normally it's always on Medicine Lake, and last year they had 1,500 participants. But with COVID, they have split it up now this year for 17 different lakes across Minnesota.
Wow.
We have 650 participants signed up with soldier families and kids. 75 of those soldiers are Wounded Warrior Project soldiers. And we have over 150 guides volunteering their time. And what's kind of cool, there's two all-female lakes. We have, I'm actually the lake leader for Chisago. So, of course, I'm rooting for our all-women lake up there. We have all a bunch of women veteran guides, and then we have a bunch of women and their families coming up there. But what's really cool, I just found this out today, is that the event will be broadcast live on Bob Country, guys.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So we're going to be broadcasting this live next week on February 6th, but also it can be found on fishingforlife.org. And it's also going to be live on the Facebook event page on Fishing for Life from 1 to 4 p.m. Something else that's really cool that's going to be happening, the ceremony that's super special at 12:30 that day, there's going to be a national, like, bagpipe ceremony live.
Cool. I'm cool.
And they're swearing in 10 17-year-old kids that are swearing into the military. I think that's really special and something that's different. So that'll be live. What we want to encourage is that if there's any participants out there, any of you veterans that would love to participate, it's going to be a cold day, but we got you covered. We got a bunch of ice hubs and a ton of volunteers. You can still sign up and bring your families out. You can sign up at fishingforlife.org, and we will take you on. We're going to be at different lakes such as Waconia, Minnetonka, Medicine, White Bear. I will be the head of the Chisago Lakes area. I'd love to have any female veterans out there listening that want to join us. So, yeah, it's going to be a great event for all these veterans, and we'll see what happens, guys.
Well, I'm a little disappointed and surprised that the four outdoorsmen have not been invited to be masters of ceremonies out in Chisago Lakes where all the women are, because we like women, and if it's too cold, if it's too darn cold, we're good huggers as well. COVID or not, we're good huggers.
Never too late. You can come on Saturday. I'm always needing a hug.
Well, I tell you, we're really good friends with Fishing for Freedom. We support them, of course.
Fishing for Life, yeah.
I mean, Fishing for Life. And Mark supports them. I think you've fished in tournaments with these guys as well.
Yeah, they had a rough year because normally we do the Minnesota Bound Crappie Contest and a lot of these shows where they collect a lot of money that does a lot of great for our state and the area. So they're in need right now. So support Fishing for Life any way you can, because they just simply couldn't raise the money as past years because all the events are canceled.
Right. Everyone had a tough year. And, you know, I love Tom Goodrich. He's the president. He founded this. And as a Christ follower myself, I really like to support companies like this. And anything we can do in the state to support that and get kids fishing. There's not really a lot of many companies out there in Minnesota that are getting kids fishing, educating, doing things for veterans.
Right.
So Tom has always been out there. He's always been in every show. He's always out there doing it, and he figures it out. So we all need to just put in the time, and I'm really happy. You know, when I first got fishing back in 2014 and 13, really diving in full head, doing the professional stuff, he's where I started. So I love to be back on my roots and helping back with this event, and it's going to be super exciting. So root for Team Chisago Lakes. So whoever has the longest, you know, normally it's pounds, but we're doing longest inches. So whoever, we're competing against each other for the total big prize. So the veterans, whoever wins at the end of the day at four, whoever has the longest inches wins the grand prize. And I forget what the grand prize is right now.
Not a problem. Mark?
Pretty decent.
Nicole, is that going to be done through, like, Fish Donkey or something like that?
Yep, we're doing all of it through Fish Donkey app, so it can be seen through there as well. And we'll be doing all the live broadcasting, too, like you said, through Bob Country and all that. So we'll have live footage. We hired photographers for all the lakes, too, so it'll be a really cool event to follow if you don't want to participate.
One more time, how do people find you and sign up for this baby?
So I'm Nicole Jacobs. If you ever want to reach out to me for questions, you can find me at Nicole Jacobs Fishing on Facebook or Nicole Fishing on Instagram. But really for the event, if you have any questions, you can find us at fishingforlife.org to sign up for the event. That is fishingforlife.org. And talk to Tom Goodrich, or you can reach out to me as well if you have questions.
Thank you very much for all you
do.
Yep, and all Fishing for Life does. Take care, baby.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
All right. Yep.
Bye-bye. Well, that's a good deal. You know, you've been involved in some of those a lot more than I ever have, it takes a lot to get these things going.
That's an impressive number of participants. So
650 or so.
Yeah, that's great for veteran participants. So support them. You know, I'm just happy they're able to do this kind of thing, even though it's going to look different. But so many organizations are hurting this year because of COVID. They're not being able to raise the funds that they normally do. So If you can support Fishing for Life in any way, do it. But let's do some shout-outs before break because we have a busy show. What do you say?
Go ahead.
Thanks, everyone, for writing the Four Outdoorsmen shout-outs. We got a couple here. Corey Bechtold has some nice crappies there on the ice. Craig Rudolph Jr. has a table full of crappies. Says, had a Saturday with the kids and good friends. Caught a couple crappies to boot. Jennifer Zeiss said, had a great time. Not my personal best, but fun to get through the ice. She has a great picture of walleye there. And Justin Zeiss, her husband, caught some fish too. So thank you, everybody. Oop, there's another one that just popped in. Chris Winkleman says, catching lots of stream trout and lake trout up here in Ely. We can't wait to go to Ely in a couple weeks, boys. What do you say?
I'm excited about that as well. You know, COVID has taken a lot of people and organizations down. We understand that. But this is one situation where it almost has benefited Fishing for Life because of the opportunity with Fish Donkey
yep.
and the virtual fishing tournament, if you want to call it that.
Yep.
They can go all over the state and metro area and fish on more lakes. More yep. people participate.
We did that this summer. We had a tournament called Fishing for the Front Lines, where anyone can participate. It's all based on length. I mean, there isn't the cool weigh-in of many tournaments, but it's a way to get out there. It's a way to help them. It's a way to have a fun time fishing. And it's really cool seeing the leaderboard as you go to. You can see everyone's posting everything. So it is interactive, and they do a good job over at Fish Donkey putting that together.
You were talking about Ely. What's happening in Ely in March for us, huh?
We are going up there on a dog sledding camping crappie extravaganza.
Isn't that
going
to be fun?
Yep. I just broke it to my wife that we're going there.
What'd she say?
She said, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the end of March, right?
March 23rd or something like that. Yeah, so 22nd. Yeah. So,
I'm going to the Boundary Waters with Sam. I'm going to be a busy boy, and I'm coaching Little League Baseball, too, so it's going to be busy.
So you retired from hockey to baseball now.
I got a couple of months of hockey
left. Hey, speaking of sports, something drastic happened to your family this last couple of days. Explain to the folks what happened to your family as far as hockey.
Nick experienced his first loss.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Evil Blaine. They're dirty, dirty Blaine players that
Brandon, are you a Blaine alumni?
Check.
No, but that's where I live now.
Oh.
So I support them 100%.
Our angelic kids got tripped and pushed over by the
dirty
evil
Blaine.
Evil
yeah.
Blaine.
But, yeah. Rowdy anyway, parents.
Typical.
Rowdy parents on that side as well. You know, oh, that's funny. Yeah, Nick is he's a pretty good hockey player for a little kid. He skates pretty well, and boy, every time he comes home, he brags about this. All of a sudden, he got his first loss. What does that feel like?
It's a life lesson that he needed. I think he needed a little humble pie. Yeah.
Didn't they beat a team, but they had like 30 goals?
They did last week, yep, and we beat a Blaine team on Saturday and then lost to another Blaine team today. So
Crazy.
That's good hockey.
It's a hard knock life, you know.
Who do we got coming back?
We'll be right back with Rob Dreisline of the Outdoor News. Going to talk a little bit about the roundtable, the DNR roundtable of a week or two ago. See what the results are. Talk to you in just a few minutes.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
The Four Outdoorsmen love Devil's Lake. Right now, it's all about ice fishing, and here, there's no walleye slot limit, and keep five a day with 10 in possession. And pound-for-pound jumbo perch are about as much fun as any fish you'll ever catch. With 165,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake assures you social distancing, and that's not going to be a problem. Hey, Kurt Walbeck of Outdoor Bound TV says, Devil's Lake is easily one of my favorite fishing hunting destinations. Wow. Check out devilslakend.com, and thank you.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small because we do it all.
What does that ski-doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome!
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Winter Celebration sales event on now. Visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,000 off select 2020 Summit 850 E-Tech models. Offer ends January 6th, 2021. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
Get a $20 off Sovereign Smokes Original Sweet Heat Barbecue Sauces or Rubs for only $10. Details at DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Hello, this is Vaughn with Fishing for Life, and we are partnering with Hoffman Weber Construction doing Holes for Heroes. We have two great events. One is virtual, and the other one is our lake event on February 6th from 1 to 4. We will be setting up hubs on multiple lakes throughout the entire state of Minnesota, and you can go to fishingforlife.org to find the one nearest to you. Fish for a great cause and receive great prizes. Register today at fishingforlife.org.
UTIs are the worst. I've been there. One year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive. We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. And so far, we've been able to help more than 100,000 people. Ready to join them? With our money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Get 30% off when you go to eucora.com/radio. That's eucora.com/radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back in the Four Outdoorsmen with our friend Rob Driesline. Rob is the president and managing editor of Outdoor News. Hey, Rob. Now, this is kind of interesting because you were on a couple of months ago. I'm not even sure what the topic was, but we always have a good time with you. And I remember, honest to God, the commercial that was on just before you came on was about diarrhea. That was about that was about a month ago, some kind of diarrhea thing. And now you're following some kind of urinary tract infection. What's going on?
I don't know. You guys are setting me up.
It's a sponsorship.
It's an easy act to follow, huh?
Rob Driesline, brought to you by Urinary Tract Infections.
Hey, thanks for being on, buddy. You've been busy the last couple of weeks. What's going on with you?
Absolutely, yeah. The DNR Roundtable, of course, was two Fridays ago, and that's always a big event. It was virtual this year.
Yeah.
But we generate a lot of news, a lot of content around that event year after year.
I had an opportunity. Of course, I blamed or I kind of pimped Mr. Oftal. I think that's what his name is to invite one of us to the roundtable, and I got on, and so I listened to about 2 or 3 hours of it myself. You know, you can't sit there all day by your computer. You can turn on the car and all that, and I found it very, very interesting. I think it seemed like to me that it had to have been more difficult to hold conversations and answer questions and be face, you can't be face to face. It just seemed to me like it'd be really hard to do that.
So, were you listening during the morning, Strew?
Morning.
Yeah. Okay. The roundtable has been around for, I think, the fisheries for like 30 years. I was at the first wildlife one in the late 90s. I think there were maybe 25 guys there. It was pretty small. Then they combined them and added Eco Services, and now the thing, you know, they invite many hundreds of people, and I think because it was virtual this year, the sky was the limit. I think they invited more than 500 people. The DNR has been taking more and more command of the agenda. Historically, it was constituents, what the DNR calls stakeholders, I put that in quotes, bringing forth ideas and content for the upcoming year, and that's changed. And obviously, a year when you've got COVID and the event is virtual, it's even harder for stakeholders to bring forth agenda items, but this year it was kind of frustrating because there was very little give and take. It felt like between the DNR and the attendees, and that's been an ongoing trend. And most years, you know, the hallway time, right, when you know between sessions where you're commiserating, you're networking, that's been like the most valuable part of the roundtable.
Yeah,
and that couldn't happen this year.
Yeah, you know, I've this is just me. I've never been involved in one of these. I'd never really listened to a round table or went to one, but I felt that there was an awful lot, maybe too much, conversation, discussion about diversity or something like it. I didn't get a whole lot out of the morning stuff other than we have to diversify and get more people involved in the outdoors or more minorities and whatnot involved in even getting into this business, getting into this job as a career. And it was a little difficult sometimes to listen to that on and on, off, over and over and over again. That was just me personally.
No, and I completely agree with you. And I'm talking to a lot of people who participated in the roundtable this year who felt the same way. The key word, Drew, was inclusivity.
Oh, there not, you go.
Not,
yeah.
not diversity. Man, yeah. You listened for 2 hours, you didn't pick that up. Yeah, it was overboard. It was 3 solid hours of that in the morning, and then a couple hours in the afternoon of some sessions where they actually talked about natural resources. And I'm in my column this coming week in Outdoor News, I'm going to flat out say that they got to stop doing that. There needs to be more pure natural resource discussion, and I think in about 3 sentences I can pitch how I would fix the roundtable going forward. I don't know if anyone will listen to me.
Well, Rob, I could tell you will listen to you, and with that, I got a question for you. What were some of the bigger topics talked about when actually they got down to like the nitty gritty of it? With all the minus all the fluff.
Okay, well, I don't know if you saw last week's Outdoor News. There were 2 things that Spielman and I really jumped on. One, Sarah Stroman talked a couple times about the DNR is going to look at how it invests and consider reinvesting in itself and come up with new ways to fund the DNR. And they get kind of in the background and say, because, license sales are down, we've got to think ahead. And, that's red flags for a caster and blaster like me. It's like, well, wait a minute. We fought for a lot of these different funds. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And Spielman interviewed Sarah, I believe, Tuesday morning and talked to her some more. And they don't, Sarah, DNR don't want to go into a lot of details yet. But, they're talking about looking at how we fund the DNR. And we got to make sure sportsmen are front and center at that table when that discussion occurs, because we've been taking care of business for natural resources management in this country. We've been paying the bills for, going on a century, I think. So right. That's really important. The other thing that jumped out at me is this gateway WMA concept. I wrote a news story about that this week. The DNR is talking about taking a half a dozen WMAs, maybe in the vicinity of population centers, and kind of making them what they call gateway WMAs, making them a little more user-friendly to urban populations and other people who don't necessarily know what a WMA is. I'll let you guys ask questions. I'm talking too much.
No, that's right.
No, that's good.
Mark.
Back to the funding issue. Haven't license sales been up quite a bit this year? So I guess that doesn't connect with the huge boom in fishing. And I know that deer numbers weren't way up, but it doesn't seem like that source of revenue is going down.
Well, certainly this past year it didn't be, and we're all chalking it up to COVID. Right. I the long-term trend has been down, and I guess the million-dollar question is 2020 going to be a blip, or is what we saw this past year, are these people going to stay with it? Are we going to maybe even see an increase over the near short term? I guess that remains to be seen. I think the folks in the brass towers tend to think that the long-term trend is going to continue. I think that's where they're coming from.
Hey, Rob, I don't know, the whole agenda, I didn't look at it, but was wolf season brought up?
The afternoon sessions, there were 4 afternoon sessions, and Spielman and I and Javier Stern, we kind of bounced around between the four. So I was in the fisheries a little bit, and then I was in wildlife listening to that Gateway WMA thing. So I did not hear anything about wolves. Getting back to Strew's original point that a little too much time was spent on social problems with this roundtable, I believe I Skyped Spielman at one point toward the end of the day and said, Tim, have you heard the word deer all day or walleye?
I love you, Robert. I love you.
And I probably could have said wolf, too, because – you guys get my point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these base issues I didn't hear a whole lot about all day.
I'm going to go back to the Gateway Wildlife Management Area concept. I read all about it as well, and the concept here is to make the WMAs more inviting to the general public, like drawing more school kids, birders, non-traditional visitors – I suppose their traditional visitor is a hunter, I don't know, to the wildlife management areas, and they plan on, I know they're gonna do a trial with maybe six or seven areas around the metro, and they're gonna have set up some kind of a parking facilities and maybe a, I don't know what else they're gonna do, but
more signage. Yeah. There's talk of maybe some moat trails. Yeah,
but isn't this just making it more? It's not. It's always been available. Are they just trying to educate and promote the WMAs more than hey, this let's get them there?
Yeah, you know, again, make it more inclusive. Yeah, I think they had some data about, like, how many people visit, like, state park web the state park section on the DNR's website versus the WMA portion. And it's minuscule, WMA compared to state park. Yeah. A lot of people aren't familiar with our WMA system. So there's a case to be made that they want to make sure everybody, they're owned by everybody in the general public. But I'll give you a little sneak peek in my column this week, which is going to say, you know what, I don't want to see WMAs have mowed trails. That's a chunk of you mow a trail, that's a place where we can't plant a duck nest or a pheasant nest anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about making these gateway WMAs kind of quote-unquote park-like. Well, you know what? We got one of the best state park systems in the country. Wisconsin's got one of the best next door. We got the Three Rivers Park District. We got school forests. We've got nature centers in a lot of communities. There's a lot of opportunities out there right now for school groups and, you know, other users to get introduced to the outdoors. I feel pretty strongly our WMAs need to stay places where we raise wildlife for people to go walk and do their hunting. And it's open to everybody, absolutely. But we don't need more parks. But I'll leave it at that.
Hey, Rob, you know, next topic, next time we have a conversation, don't coat it with sugar, man. Just tell it like it is. That was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Go ahead, Sam.
Rob, I was going to say, you know, after hearing this, you know, I'm personally a little bummed, too, because, you know, when we had Dave on, Dave, what was it, Olfelt or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, I asked him right away. I was like, you know, I brought up wolf season, and I brought up, you know, is the shotgun zone going to get pushed over to rifle? What do you think the reason is that they talked more about the diversity kind of stuff? Do you think there's something, like, behind that, like, that they're getting pushed back from, you know, our state government? What do you think that is?
Well, that's a big question here, pal.
All right, you can text us.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, let's face it. We've got a very progressive governor and progressive lieutenant governor and a DNR administration, and that's good in a lot of ways. There's good things about that. Some of the things that also go hand in hand with that is that we end up talking a lot more about what I'm calling some social problems, and maybe we get a bit too far away, in my opinion, from, you know, that organization's charter, which is to manage the natural resources of the state for everybody of all races, creeds, and colors. So, you know, I think a little bit of this is coming from the top, and I think it's time. You guys know me. You've read my column. You know where I fall. I'm a moderate-minded kind of guy, but it's time to push back a little bit on this. I think some of the outdoor writers have been probably haven't pushed back on this administration hard enough, and I think it's time to do that now.
Do you know, have you ever met, or I don't know how long you've been around, and I don't know how when he passed away, but Dave Vassall, is that his name? He was the former director of the Fish and Wildlife in the, I don't know, 50s and 60s, right through the 80s, I think. He was the guy who got this Save the Wetlands thing going in the 1950s and 60s, and was turned into, like, the wildlife management area. You know, it's amazing what one guy started 70 years ago and where it is today. It's pretty impressive.
I never met him, but yes, this year is the 70th birthday, I believe, of the WMA system in Minnesota. It's one of the best in the nation. It's what, 1.3 or 1.4 million acres. Wow. I mean, it's a crown jewel. It's something to be very proud of in this state. And it, again, I want to see every citizen using it, but I don't want to see mowed trails.
I'm with you. Hey, one of the other things, we only have a couple of minutes, Rob, of course, but one of the other things I did hear in the morning, I did catch some stuff in the afternoon as I was in my car as well, and somebody had mentioned that they're considering a central region elk hunt. What, if you heard that, if you know anything about that, help me out, will you? What is a central where's the central region, and are they planning on having an elk hunt in the middle of the United States of Minnesota? I don't know that there were elk in the middle of Minnesota.
There aren't. The only I'm not sure what you're talking about, other than there is talk of trying to create an elk herd in that Fond du Lac area.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That must be. That's been kicked around for probably the better part of a decade. It seems like it's gaining a little bit of momentum. One of the, you know, the main leaders on that is the Fond du Lac Band of Ojibwe up there. And if this happens, it'll happen hand-in-hand with that band, I think. Yeah. But it's probably still years out.
We're going to let you go, but in the meantime, before you... Oh, Mark's got a question. Go ahead.
I got one quick question for you. My dad's birthday is coming up, and he always steals my outdoor news. But he lives in Wisconsin. How do I order him a subscription? Is it pretty easy?
Outdoornews.com.
Same
man.
Way.
Just go right there. You can subscribe there. Shoot me an email in the morning if you want. editor@outdoornews.com. I'll connect you to the right people.
Okay, great. So we can order a subscription for other people in other states.
Yeah.
Oh, without question. Yeah, that's our bread and butter around the holiday season, man.
Okay. I need to renew mine as well.
Great. Well, thank you.
Hey, gotcha. Finish your hang of fame. But wait now, you can't go yet. You got to tell us all about your podcast. When's your next podcast, and what's the next subject on the podcast?
So I do a podcast every week, Outdoor News Radio. It's on a bunch of out-of-state stations. I don't believe it competes with you guys at all. What have I got cooking this week? Oh, Tackle Terry Tuma is going to
he's a great guy.
He's always a trip, yeah.
He's a fun, fun guy. Well, we'll follow you. You follow us. Thanks for all you do. Take care of yourself and keep writing on the Outdoor News because we sure enjoy it.
Well, I always enjoy talking to you guys. Have a good evening.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
See you, Rob.
Bye.
He's a good man. Boy, yeah. I tell you, he does not pull any punches.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We need more of that. We really do. Yeah. And you need to call out things when you see something that's not quite right.
Especially like a guy like Rob, you know, he's a great writer, right? You know, that's what you want to see. You want to see someone who's honest and like, you know, the DNR is about, you know, our wildlife and fisheries. Like, that's what it should be about.
Yeah.
I mean, trust me, like, it's great to get I'm one
it should be welcome to everybody.
Exactly. I'm
but
all
it
about
be politicized either.
Exactly. I'm all about getting new. You guys know this. I love bringing new people hunting, but when we have a lot of stuff that we can talk about the wildlife, you know, there's enough of that crap going around already.
Do you think the bankruptcy of the NRA has any effect on the DNR? Would it have any effect in any indirect way?
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I really don't.
I don't. I think, you know, because you got the hunting and you got the Second Amendment side.
Be right back with the Four Outdoorsmen. But, Sam, who's going to be our next guest?
We got Garrett Bonham from Bry's Guide Service in Devil's Lake.
USLBM, one of the largest building products distributors in the U.S., is hiring carpenters, assemblers, sales representatives, and drivers right here in the greater Minneapolis area. USLBM offers a competitive starting wage and a generous benefits package. Apply at USLBM.com today.
Strewman here for one of our favorite fishing destinations, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. With plenty of guiding services, you'll have every opportunity to catch your limit of walleyes or jumbo perch, or both. Find out why Devil's Lake has earned the reputation of being the perch capital of the world and also being ranked one of the top 5 fishing destinations in the United States. It's great fishing, hotels, restaurants, and great people. Hey, go have some fun. Book your trip by visiting devilslakend.com. Thanks.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Now's the time to find your new favorite cabin by the lake. The community of Minnesota Resorts invites you to find your perfect vacation or getaway at looneyinminnesota.com. Stay safe, stay local, and socially distance right here in Minnesota in one of our 183 owner-operated resorts. Find the right self-contained cabin or campsite in this land of 10,000 lakes. You gotta be loony not to. Go to looneyinminnesota.com. That's looneyinminnesota.com. Funding provided by Explore Minnesota.
No boat show in 2021? No worries. Open Water will be here before you know it, and you can still claim your 2021 build slot. Trade in now and reserve your custom 2021 model for a spring delivery. Alumacraft, Ranger, and Lund fishing boats. Godfrey, Lowe, and Ranger pontoons. Don't miss the mark. Get your build reserved today now while you still can. Call 763-576-1706 to order yours today. Visit PowerLodge.com and check out the huge selection, or visit Power Lodge and Ramsey, Brainerd, or Mille Lacs.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Second Amendment lives. Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show is back this Friday and Saturday at Banquets of Minnesota in Fridley. New guns, old guns, accessories, antiques, and more. Open Friday evening 4 to 8 and Saturday 9 to 4. Only $7 per day. Kids under 12 free with an adult. That's this Friday and Saturday at the Banquets of Minnesota in Fridley. Visit CrocodileProductions.com for details. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
I don't want to say anything yet because this kid's shy. We've got 20 minutes almost. This kid's not going to say anything. Let the music play. Let the music play for a while.
He's probably got stories about us, though.
Okay, here we go. Hey, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsman. Garrett Bonham is on. He's a guide with Bry's Guide Service in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, our favorite destination by far. Garrett, welcome to the Four Outdoorsman.
Hey, Strew, how's it going today?
Every day's a gift, buddy. Where are you?
I am currently at Bry's Lodge here, the fish rehab. You guys actually pulled me away from cleaning some fish.
So. Hey, I'll tell you what. I don't like to clean fish. I'm not very good at it. I've never used an electric knife. But watching you guys clean all those fish is like an art.
It was incredible. It was magic.
It is fun. It's like going to a symphony.
I think legitimately Garrett cleaned 15 walleyes and 10 perch in probably
a couple minutes,
Six minutes.
Yeah.
It used to be go down to the fish cleaning house. You'd have at least four or five beers.
Four or five beers.
Because it would take like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Garrett, speaking of fish cleaning houses, again, Garrett from Bry's Guide Service took us out on Friday. But we at Fireside, we caught some perch. Mark caught some perch on Saturday. And we went back to the hotel Fireside and used their fish cleaning room. It was cleaner than my bathroom. It was,
it was pretty impressive,
boy, how fancy those things are. Let's talk about Bry's Guide Service, and let's talk about your career. How long have you been with Bry's?
I've been with Bry's for 6 years now. It's hard to believe that it's been that long. It feels like just yesterday I walked into Bry's for the first time, didn't know anybody, and the next thing you know, it's been my full-time job here now for the last 4 years, and it's been good.
Well, I'll tell you what, you share with me the story about your first guiding trip. Why don't you share that with our audience?
All right, so...
And how old were you?
I was 18 years old. I had just graduated from high school that spring. This is in June now, and my dad has been a fishing guide in the summertime since the early 90s. He was a high school science teacher for many years, and so he would guide in the summertime and teach school the rest of the year. And so I always grew up with him doing it, knew a lot of people that did it, thought it was kind of the dream job like everyone else, didn't think it was ever going to be a reality, and... I ended up getting my guide license for another guide trip earlier in June. I was a last-minute fill-in, and, well, now I got all the licensing and the insurance to do it. I thought, well, why not try to do a few more days? And my dad was scheduled to work for Bry for a couple-day trip, and he ended up actually having to go to the hospital. He hurt his back really bad, and he flipped me the keys to his boat and his pickup, and he said, you're guiding for Bry tomorrow, and I was nervous beyond belief.
I
showed up an hour early to talk with Bry, and I thought for sure he was going to send me home. didn't think there was any way that he was going to let some 18-year-old kid that he had no idea who was and going to take these guys out fishing. And sure enough, he let me do the two-day trip, and we talked a little bit after the guide trip was over. And he said, well, what's your plan? I said, well, I don't know. I'm here to go to Lake Region State College here in Devil's Lake, and my plan was to get an associate degree and then move on. And he said, well, if I call you, will you come back? And 6 years later, my phone never stopped ringing. So
I'll tell you what, you know, and were you surprised when your first guide trip turned out to be the three girls from the UND bikini dance team or something? And that you thought, I like this job, right?
Yeah. No kidding. Would that be the dream?
So you guided for us on Friday. We had a wonderful time. You're a nice young man, very knowledgeable, easy to be with, which is for me. You know,
it's great.
I know you have a job to do. You have to be professional, but we like to have fun, and you just You went right with us, man, and I respect you for that because you're a lot older than I am. But it's a big, big deal. You guide every day. Tell them how much guiding you've been doing and how busy you are.
So I haven't had a day off since December 26th. And what's the day today? The 31st today. And I talked to Brian today, and he said don't plan on having a day off till we're done in mid-March. So
wow.
As long as we don't get a weather cancellation, we'll be rolling full steam.
Well, it's important then that you love what you do.
Oh, exactly. I don't think anybody could do this full-time if you didn't love it. It's definitely a different animal. A lot of long hours, early mornings, late nights, fixing stuff. Actually, the night before you guys came, I actually broke a shock on the Snow Bear, if you guys remember that.
And yep.
Took a couple hours to fix that the night before, and we haven't had any problems since, so that should be good now.
Garrett, it's not only loving what you do, it's being good at it as well. And you are very good at it. We had a great time, man. You were one of the boys. I mean, we gave you so much crap, and you gave it right back to us. Mark's got a great guide in you, for sure.
I just
wanted to add that, you know, people think, oh, it's guiding, you have to be able to catch fish. And it's really about managing people more than anything, it would seem like. You're there to entertain people and make sure they have a good time. So, I mean, if you're a stick in the mud or don't like being constantly around people all day, every day, it can't be the job for you.
No, I agree. I like to joke around that I'm basically an adult babysitter. And
true.
I got all the fishing stuff and I can take people out, but it's a lot of jokes, a lot of laughs. It's a lot more than just the fishing side of things.
Now you're a guide that uses a Snow Bear exclusively, and that kind of is different than most, obviously, who will be pulling around portables and stuff like that, and the weather doesn't affect you. How is being a Snow Bear guide different than your regular guide there?
Well, the Snow Bear, as you guys saw, was 70 degrees, and it didn't matter what the wind was going to be. It didn't matter what the weather was going to be. We were going to be 70 degrees. We were going to be comfortable, and we were going to be able to move as we needed to move. You know, people booking these trips to come up to Devil's Lake, you know, it might be 6 months to a year in advance, and you can't predict the weather. Half the time, the weatherman can't predict it a day out. So for you to know what's going on 6 months to a year in advance and then go into a portable flip-over house, and you might have 40-mile-an-hour winds, negative 20 degrees, you're not going to get moved around much. It's not going to be fun for anybody, especially the guide. And being in the Snow Bear, it's almost like your boat. You know, you have everything at your fingertips. You can move around as needed. It's the closest you're going to get to trolling on the ice there is.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was my first experience in the Snow Bear, and I almost don't want to ever ice fish again outside of one. It was so spoiling. Garrett, why don't you give us a quick rundown on Bride's Guide Service, like what you guys offer. I know you both open water and hard water, but you guys do lodging as well, right?
Yeah, so we have lodging. We can sleep up to 24 people. We have four different units. We do all the fish cleaning and bagging. We run, open water. We run about 6 guides, and then in the wintertime we run about 9 to 10 guides. So we have enough people to serve any size group. So it works out well for that. I know we want to talk about ice fishing here, but it's not too early to start thinking about that summertime bookings, too. Things fill up fast, and the way it looks right now, I actually had some people call me today asking to book a weekend, and it's not going to be till the end of March at this point. So start looking out, getting ready for that summertime fishing. It's going to be right around the corner.
Speaking of summertime fishing, what kind of boat do you have, and what is the difference for you as far as preparing yourself for summertime fishing as compared to winter fishing in the Snow Bear? Equipment, managing, getting things ready, repairs, those kind of things.
Well, first off, in the summertime, I wear my flip-flops. So, no, it's a little bit different. So I run a Nitro ZV20 with a 300 Mercury Pro XS, and that I've got Hummingbirds and Garmin electronics on with the Minn Kota trolling motor, everything linked together. So I've got the live scope on the boat also. So as you guys were talking earlier in the show, watching those fish come up, you can see the same thing with the bobbers and watching those fish come up and just in jigging, and it's a really cool experience there. And it's we cover a lot more water in the summertime. It's just that's the way it is. You know, when you're pulling a spinner at 1 mile an hour, you can cover a shoreline quickly. We're basically covering a 4x8 sheet of plywood in the snow bear.
Yeah.
And, there's only so many moves in a day.
Garrett, obviously I assume during the summer there are a lot longer days for you. Are you back-to-back-to-back like you are or have been since Christmas?
Yep, still very busy in the summertime. Memorial to Labor Day is our busy season. This year with Canada being closed, we saw a lot more bookings this fall than we have in years past, and I'm going to kind of assume that we're going to see kind of that same program, being that I haven't heard anything with Canada being open, and they seem like they're locking down more and more every day, so it might be the same program. But our fishing here kind of kicks off mid-May, and then we'll roll all the way until ice up if we can.
Garrett, it's Mark here. I think it's time to talk about how awesome fishermen we are and how the day went, what we did, where we caught them, and not the exact spots, of course, but we had a very successful day. You know, it's not very often in a fisherman's life where, you know, you limit out. I know that's not the important thing is to always limit out, but we saw fish, we caught fish, you know, right where to go. Kind of why don't you go through the day of what we did and how we became so successful.
Well, we got out there, and once I showed Strew how to hold the rod the right way.
What an a-hole. My guide's an a-hole.
No, we got out there, and we were using quarter-ounce buckshots and quarter-ounce Radlin flyer spoons were our go-tos, and we were using minnow heads. We were fishing in 20 feet of water, fishing over a little bit of rock, sand transition line. And those fish on the live scope, we'd watch them come in little wolf packs where there'd be anywhere from two to, I don't know, maybe there's six in the biggest school we saw. And it was really just a matter of how fast we could get up and down or how many would bite out of that school. And then we'd sit for a bit, and it might be 5 minutes or it might be 20 minutes. And that next wave would come through, and we'd pick off a few more. And so we did that for the morning, and then we slid back there in the evening. And then while we were perch fishing, we were fishing more mud. So that was anywhere from 24 to 30 feet of water, even out to 35, you can find the mud. And that's just hopping around, and it's a little bit willy-nilly, and that's what gets frustrating about it. As you guys saw, we fished, I don't know, what, 5-6 spots out in that mud. And right. Every spot we marked fish, it's just a matter of if they bite and how many you see.
Right.
But we would see those schools come in on the live scope, and We did downsize for the perch. We're using more small tungstens, pencil weights on our rods to get those small tungstens down quickly when that school would come in and those active fish are there. And then I like to use spikes. I think they stay on a lot better than the wax worms. You're not constantly rebaiting. If you do get a bite, you don't have to worry about reeling up really quick. You can stay down there, stay on that active school while it's there, and just try to capitalize as much as you can.
Now, besides Garrett, the rotting smell.
Yeah,
that was the only thing I didn't like.
I was
going to
bring that up. You call them spikes, but what are they? Just tell them.
They're basically maggots. Yeah.
Like real deal maggots.
Real maggots.
Yep.
The kind you find in your trash when you leave it outside.
Yes.
Were you?
Yeah, they turn into nasty flies after you leave them in your bait puck and your bibs for a couple weeks.
Were you a little surprised? Now, the television show we have, of course, is called the radio show we have is called The Four Outdoorsmen, which means we know what the hell we're doing. We love the outdoors. We fish and hunt every day of our lives. Were you surprised that Sam would not touch his fish?
I forgot about that. I had to bait hooks. And I
yes, you did.
Yeah. What did I tell you, Garrett? I said, if I'm paying for a guide, I'm not doing crap.
I agree with that.
I agree. Why not?
I have no problem touching fish.
But here's how smart Garrett is, because we were there with him for 7-8 hours, whatever
it is. Well, we were entertaining
and
him.
Little by little, the transition took place, and you did less, we did more. By the end of the day, you're sitting on your ass, we're cutting
holes.
We're
drilling holes.
We're doing all this stuff, and go ahead.
Well, Garrett, I have to appreciate, you know, as a father of three boys, when you go on a fishing trip, you're baiting hooks, and you're taking fish off nonstop. There is something ultimately satisfying on just winging my rod over to you to put
it's
spikes
awesome.
On there and just sitting there and not doing a dang thing. So I'm telling you, taking a guide is the way to go. Even
it's
if you
awesome.
Know what you're doing, even if you have your own equipment, do it once in a while. Just spoil yourself, man.
You know, the first time, we've been doing this a number of years, and the first time we ever actually paid for a guide was last year, and we'd had a couple free trips in the past, but we actually paid for summer fishing. I forget the name of the gentleman. Did a nice job. Wasn't with Bry's, and it was well worth it. When you think you don't have to bring your own boat, your own equipment, you don't have to have $50,000 or $30,000 worth of stuff, haul it back and forth, your trailer and all that, and pay somebody, and then try to find the damn fish. Pay somebody who knows what they're doing.
It's a big lake.
Huh?
It's a big lake.
It's a huge lake.
2-3 days, you're not going to cover any of it. I like to think that I cover a lot of the lake, and I still only cover just a sliver.
Yeah.
Well, we drove 47 minutes just to get to the one side of it to fish. It's a huge
Stump
lake.
Stump Lake, yeah, on Saturday.
Oh, Stump Lake, yeah.
Yeah, huge.
Hey, speaking of Stump Lake, we went to Stump Lake on Saturday and got a fish house from Cody. I forget Cody's last name, and spent about 3-4 hours in there trying to catch some fish. And I don't have the patience. I was out there digging holes and having fun. But Mark caught a number of perch. Sam and I were just being foragers and exploring. But Mark caught a walleye in 43 feet of water. Is that normal? That seems rare to me.
We will see some deeper walleyes on Stump. We'll see them on Devil's Lake, too. You'll be out perch fishing, jumping around, and all of a sudden on the live scope, you'll see a bigger Mark come in. And they'll hit those little tungstens. It's surprising. You'd think they'd want something bigger. But, no, they'll hit that, and you'll get a few. And they're not always small. I've seen them anywhere from 12 inches all the way up to 30 inches out in that deep water, just roaming through those perch schools.
That's a lot of water as well. Okay, Sam.
Well, Garrett, we got one more minute. I want you to tell the listeners, first of all, who your favorite group of the week was. And then, second, let everyone know how they can reach out and get a hold of Bry's.
Oh, it was definitely the four outdoorsmen.
Okay.
Good.
That's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
You're good, man. We'll use you again next time. How do they get a hold of Bry's? How do they get a hold of you specifically? If they contact Bry's, can they ask for you as a guide?
Yes. They can go to Bry's website. They can call him. They can email him. They can text him. They can even send smoke signals. But, Bry will do request groups, so if you're looking to come out here and you fish with me in the past or you want to try to fish with me, you can just request that when you call Bry or you give him an email. And we have fine multiple other guides that would be happy to take you out also.
We'll use you again next time, I promise you that, only if your wife sits in there with us for a couple of hours so we can talk softball.
That sounds good, Stu. We'll have to do that. We'll have to go to the ranch again. That was very good.
It was
after
fun.
Dinner,
it was.
I don't think she's going to want to hang out with us.
Hey, Garrett of Bry's Guide Service in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, thanks for being so nice and joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen tonight, and thanks for doing all you did for us on Friday. We'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
All righty, guys. Well, thank you very much.
You bet. Take care.
Take care, Garrett.
Take care. What a nice young man. 24 years old.
Man.
Been guiding for 8 years already. He knows what he's doing out
he
there.
He does. He's very knowledgeable. He's a good people person. Honestly, it was a great time.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should thank our sponsors. Without them, we can't do this show. Thank you, Clam Outdoors. We used our float suits, and we needed them when you guys went exploring, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Cat's Covers. We hope Bill's doing better now and recovering from surgery. Devil's Lake Tourism, of course, who just treated us so well. It's such a great place to go. Book your stuff now for summer at Devil's Lake because it's going to fill up. Am I missing any of it? Power Lodge, of course. Power Lodge, so much stuff going on there. And get a boat, man. They're in short supply. Go get a boat at Power Lodge right now.
Even though we spoke about them all night long, Devil's Lake Tourism. Thanks to Susie and the gang up there.
Yep.
You support us, we'll support you. Hey, thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. We have a lot of fun laughing and learning with us, guys. You guys have a safe week. In the meantime, my buddy Mark's got some advice for you.
Get outside and make some memories.